Have you printed out the free coloring sheet for this lesson? You can download and print it at the link in our show notes. And you can access full lesson activity guides, bonus videos, nature devotions, and our themed Bible and nature scavenger hunts in the Nat Theo Club. When you join, you receive new resources every week and access to all our back content. Dive deeper into God's creation and the Bible in the Nat Theo Club at erinlynham.com/club or at the link in our show notes.
Hello world, wake me up to another good morning, time to go.
Are you ready to explore God's wild and wonderful world? Welcome to the Nat Theo Podcast. I'm your host, Erin Lynham. I'm a certified master naturalist, Bible teacher, and author, and I am so excited to dive into God's written word, the Bible, and his created world with you. Hey, listeners, today we are celebrating. It's book launch day for my newest book, The Nature of Rest, What the Bible and Creation Teach Us About Sabbath Living. Make sure your parent or caregiver knows about this new book, now available, and picks up a copy at the link in our show notes. Also, make sure your parent or caregiver knows that we have a brand new podcast show just for them. On the Nature of Rest podcast, my husband and I are spending 7 weeks sharing about God's gift of rest and how it has deeply impacted our faith, family, home, and all of our work. Listen to the Nature of Rest wherever you enjoy podcasts. All right, listeners, have you ever watched a hummingbird fly? When they fly, can you see their little wings flapping? When many birds fly, you can actually see their wings, and sometimes they even stop flapping to soar through the air. But hummingbirds, they flap their wings so quickly that it's very hard to see those wings. In fact, hummingbirds fly so fast that unless you take a video of it and then slow that video way, way down, you really can't see their wings. It's very fun watching hummingbirds zip so quickly through the air. But how exactly do hummingbirds move so quickly? That is one amazing hummingbird design that we are exploring today. Here is our trail map.
Are you ready?
We are going to learn, why do different birds flap their wings differently? And what creatures would a hummingbird beat in a race? We will discover, how do hummingbirds fly so quickly? And do hummingbirds ever stop to rest? And finally, how can we live and work better by resting? Before we hit the trail, let's thank our sponsor who made this lesson possible, the Family Adventure Days at the Creation Museum. The Creation Museum is all about exploring God's wild and wonderful world and his amazing designs in nature and science. This spring is the perfect time to visit the Creation Museum during their Family Adventure Days for exclusive freebies and discounts across the museum. While the Family Adventure Days are only happening this spring, the museum is open all year, and kids ages 10 and under always get in free. If, like us, you don't live in Kentucky, the Creation Museum is well worth a special trip. Our family will never forget our time there with their interactive exhibits and enjoying wildlife encounters and live presentations. Plan your trip today at creationmuseum.org/family-days or at the link in our show notes. All right, listeners, here is today's trivia question. What is the smallest species of hummingbird? We will make this multiple choice. The first answer is A, a rufous hummingbird, B, a green hermit hummingbird, or C, the bee hummingbird. Which one do you think is the smallest species? Again, A, the rufous hummingbird, B, green hermit hummingbird, or C, the bee hummingbird. Take a guess and we will find out at the end of today's lesson. Anatheo Club members, be sure after this lesson to click over to the bonus video where I will share with you a slow motion video I took of hummingbirds at a feeder and share with you a story of when my son held a hummingbird in his hand. You can find that bonus video at the link in our show notes or in your NatTheo Club dashboard. Listeners, if you would like access to our weekly bonus videos, lesson guides, and nature devotions, you can get all of that in the NatTheo Club at the link in our show notes. Have you ever noticed that different birds fly in different ways? Not all birds flap alike. Do you have a favorite bird? Have you ever paid attention to the way it flies and flaps its wings? Does it constantly flap its wings, or does it pause and take a break to soar or glide through the air? There are five main types of ways that birds fly. Let's look at them. The first type of flight is probably the one that we are most familiar with, flapping. When a bird flaps its wings, it catches air beneath its body to lift itself higher up into the air or forward. The second type of flight is gliding. This is when a bird takes a break from flapping to glide through the air. The third type of flight is soaring. Now, soaring is very similar to gliding in that the bird will take a break from flapping its wings, but it's not simply gliding through the air. When a bird soars, it is circling upward into the air, riding on air currents and thermals. You see, warm air rises up into the sky, and birds will sometimes ride on those air currents, those warm thermals. By doing this, they can save energy and fly a longer distance without having to use up all of their energy by flapping. If you have seen a hawk or an eagle circling up into the sky, that is when they are soaring and riding on those air currents. The fourth type of flight is hovering. This is when a bird is flapping its wings and flying, but it's not going anywhere. It is staying in the same place in the air. There is a small falcon called a kestrel that does this while hunting, and sometimes you can see them hovering up above a field while they're looking for prey to eat. My favorite bird, the kingfisher, also uses this flight strategy. They will fly over a river looking for fish to eat below the water's surface. Sometimes you can see kingfishers hovering above the river before they dive down super fast to catch a fish. And what about a hummingbird? A hummingbird definitely hovers. We will learn more about hummingbirds in a moment. But for now, let's learn about the fifth type of bird flight, and that is undulating flight. When a bird alternates or changes between flapping and gliding, most woodpeckers use undulating flight. I love watching flicker woodpeckers in my neighborhood when they flap really fast and then stop to glide through the air. Did you know that there were so many different ways that birds can fly? When we learn how to identify birds or recognize different species of birds, we often do that by learning their different colors or patterns or the different songs that they sing. But another fun way to recognize birds is by their flight patterns. Now, this can be a harder way to identify birds, but it can also help if they're in the air and too far away for us to see closely. Some good birds to begin learning by flight patterns are flicker woodpeckers with their undulating flight, hummingbirds as they hover over a flower, hawks as they soar and circle up into the air, and ducks as they use a flapping strategy and constantly flap while in flight. If you have any of those birds by you, pay attention to how they fly and see if you can identify them by those flight patterns. Hummingbirds are a good bird to learn to identify by its flight pattern because they fly in a unique way, zipping through the air and then stopping to hover above a flower or feeder. Have you ever seen a hummingbird flying? They are very fast for such a small creature. But how exactly do they fly so fast? In normal flight, hummingbirds fly around 20 to 30 miles per hour, or around 32 to 48 kilometers per hour. But did you know that hummingbirds also dive? Male hummingbirds do this during their special mating dance when they are trying to attract the attention of female hummingbirds. They will zip up way high into the air and then dive back down. When they do this, their diving flight can be as fast as 60 miles per hour, or about 96 kilometers per hour. Let's play a game of hummingbird race. We will play a few rounds where I will name another creature. We will pretend that that creature is racing a hummingbird, and I want you to guess whether that other creature or the hummingbird would win the race. For our hummingbird racer, let's choose a very fast hummingbird called the Anna's hummingbird, which in normal flight flies around 30 miles per hour. All right, are you ready for the races to begin? In our first round, the hummingbird racer is up against a honeybee. Do you think the hummingbird or the honeybee will win this race? And the winner is the Anna's hummingbird. A honeybee flies at around 20 miles per hour compared to the Anna's hummingbird at 30 miles per hour. Are you ready for round two? All right, this time our hummingbird is up against a running cheetah. Who do you think will win this race? And the winner of round two is the cheetah. A cheetah can run around twice as fast as the hummingbird can fly. A cheetah's top speed is around 75 to 80 miles per hour, although they cannot run at that speed for very long. Are you ready for round three? This time, our Anna's hummingbird is racing against a black marlin fish. So the hummingbird is flying above the water while the black marlin swims in the water. Who do you think will win this round? The winner of round three is the black marlin. A black marlin normally swims around 30 miles per hour, so around the same speed that the hummingbird is flying. But the black marlin can also swim at short super boosts of about 80 miles per hour. It's time for round four. Are you ready? Our hummingbird is now up against a greyhound dog. Who do you think is going to win? The winner of round four is the greyhound dog, which can run at about 45 miles per hour. It is time for our fifth and final round. This time, our hummingbird is up against a roadrunner bird. Who do you think is going to win? All right, the results are in, and although roadrunners are known for running, the hummingbird won this round. Roadrunners can run at around 26 miles per hour. For such a tiny bird, the hummingbird's speed is quite impressive. But how exactly do they fly so quickly? If you have ever seen a hummingbird flying, you might have noticed that you can't even see their wings. It all looks like a blur. Many hummingbirds will flap their wings around 70 times every second. That means that if you set a timer for 1 minute, a hummingbird will flap their wings around 4,200 times before your timer goes off. That is a whole lot of movement for a tiny bird. When you move around a lot, what does your heart do? You might notice that when you run or jump around, your heart beats faster. And the same is true for a hummingbird. As you might guess, a hummingbird's heart is tiny. However, compared to its body size, it has the largest heart in the animal kingdom. Now, its heart is still tiny and much smaller than ours, but consider this. A hummingbird's heart makes up about 2.5% of their body weight. Compare that to a human heart, which makes up about 0.3% of our body weight. Their tiny hearts power a whole lot of flight. In fact, a hummingbird's heart can beat around 1,200 times every minute. That means that when you see a tiny hummingbird, their heart rate is about 1,400% higher than ours. Hummingbirds need such strong hearts to fuel all of their movement and activity. But why do they need to zip around so quickly? It's because they have a lot of important work to do. A hummingbird will visit around 1,000 to 2,000 flowers every day to get the sweet nectar liquid that they need. In fact, a hummingbird needs to eat around every 10 to 15 minutes. Do you ever finish a snack just to find yourself hungry again in 10 minutes? Maybe because you are growing and being active and playing outside while you explore God's wild and wonderful world. That can definitely make you hungry. While your parent or caregiver may tell you that you can wait for another snack or a wholesome meal, but the hummingbird really does need to eat every 10 to 15 minutes. And God designed its tiny, strong heart and fast flapping wings to help it get all the food that it needs. A hummingbird's work of collecting nectar is not only important for itself, but also for flowers and other plants. Hummingbirds are pollinators. This means that they help spread pollen from flowers, which makes it possible for new plants to grow. When a hummingbird collects nectar from a flower, powdery pollen from that flower can brush off and get stuck to the hummingbird's feathers or long bill. Then, when the hummingbird goes to visit other flowers, that pollen can brush off onto those flowers. This process of pollination helps more plants to grow. In Genesis, we read about God creating all the plants. His plan was always that plants would create more of their own kind, filling the earth with beautiful colors and fragrances and good food that we need to eat. Genesis 1:11 to 12 says, "Then God said, 'Let the earth produce plants, some to make grain for seeds, and others to make fruits with seeds in them. Every seed will produce more of its own kind of plant.' And it happened. The earth produced plants with grain for seeds and trees that made fruits with seeds in them. Each seed grew its own kind of plant. God saw that all this was good." God designed hummingbirds to be a very important part of this work. In a way, hummingbirds are gardeners, and God created their strong hearts and their fast flight to carry out all this important gardening work. While hummingbirds are fast and seem like they are always on the go, they also need to rest. I remember the first time I saw a hummingbird perched on top of a tree branch. It was years ago, before I knew very much about birds. My family and I were exploring a river when I noticed that there was a little hummingbird flying up in the air around us, and it kept returning to the same branch to stop and perch or rest. When a hummingbird does this, it is sometimes called their lookout perch. A lookout perch is where a hummingbird repeatedly lands to rest or scan an area for food resources. I was very surprised to see this hummingbird stop and rest. Hummingbirds don't only stop on their lookout perch to rest. Sometimes they need a deeper rest. Imagine being a hummingbird, busily collecting nectar all day long. Sometimes we can feel that busy. Sometimes, as we grow older, we get busier. If you don't feel that busy right now, maybe ask your parent or caregiver if they feel as busy as a hummingbird, zipping around from one activity to the next. Thankfully, God designed the hummingbirds with a very special way to rest, called torpor. When a hummingbird goes into torpor, it is resting very deeply. It can lower its body temperature by around 50 degrees Fahrenheit or 28 degrees Celsius. The hummingbird is so deep at rest that it is not responsive. Sometimes when people find a hummingbird in torpor rest, they are concerned that the hummingbird is dead. Sometimes if a hummingbird goes into torpor while it is perched on a tree branch or a feeder, it will actually fall upside down, and it will still be clinging to that branch or feeder. It doesn't even know it's hanging upside down because it is so deep at rest. Hummingbirds will sometimes go into torpor to conserve or save energy when temperatures outside get chilly. So while we often think of hummingbirds as busy, busy birds always on the go, rest is important for them. God designed them with special ways to rest so that they can continue their fruitful, God-given work. Just as a hummingbird has important work to do, you do also. God created you for important work. Ephesians 2:10 says, "In Christ Jesus, God made us to do good works, which God planned in advance for us to live our lives doing." What kind of work do you think God planned for you to do? Maybe it's hard to imagine what that work might be, or maybe you have a good idea. It can help to think about the things that you love doing, things that inspire you and draw your mind to God's goodness and wonder. Or maybe it's things that God made you skilled at. I can remember way back when I was a young girl and I really enjoyed writing stories. And over time, I worked hard and practiced writing. I did not know way back then that I would write and publish books one day. But God was preparing me for that work. Whatever kind of work God is preparing you for, whether it be writing books, painting pictures, working in a business office, designing websites, cooking food, cleaning, or any other type of work, you can work at it with all your heart and serve God in whatever you do. Colossians 3:23 says, "And in all the work you are doing, work the best you can. Work as if you were doing it for the Lord, not for people." One way we can work the best we can is by resting. Now that might not seem to make sense at first. How can rest or stopping from work help our work? Think about the hummingbird. By stopping on its little lookout perch, or by going into torpor to save energy, it is better able to do all of its important work in collecting nectar and spreading pollen. A few minutes ago, we read in Genesis about God creating all the plants. But is that the only thing that God created? No, of course not. What else did He create? God created the sun, moon, and stars, the rivers and oceans and lakes, the mountains and deserts and forests, and all of the crawling, creeping, flying, and slithering creatures. And of course, He created us. God created everything in nature. Do you think that that work was tiring? Well, it would be for us. But unlike us, God does not get tired. Isaiah 40:28 says, "The Lord is the God who lives forever, who created all the world. He does not become tired or need rest." So why then, listener, do you think God chose to rest after creating everything? Maybe you have heard or read that God created everything in 6 days and then He rested on the seventh day. Genesis 2:2 explains, "By the seventh day, God had finished the work that He had been doing. So on the seventh day, He rested from all His work." Why do you think God rested if He does not grow tired or need to rest? I think it was for two reasons. First, I think God simply wanted to stop and enjoy everything that He had just made. I picture Him strolling through creation and listening to the birds singing and watching those hummingbirds zip through the air. I imagine Him taking in the sweet aroma of flowers and appreciating all the colors that He had just invented and then splashed across creation. This is an important reminder for us to stop and enjoy the work that God invites us into. The next time you finish up a creative project or any type of work, maybe cleaning your room, or helping a parent with the laundry or dishes, or helping a neighbor. Take time to enjoy what you just did and thank God for the opportunity to do important work. I believe the second reason God rested was to set an example and a pattern for us. Because while God does not need to rest, He knew that we would need rest. We can think back to God's example, that He had a pattern of working and resting. And we can also think about the hummingbird and remember that rest does not take away from our work. Instead, rest is powerful and it helps all of our work be better. God created us to both do important work and rest. What are some of your favorite ways to rest? Maybe you like sitting and reading a good book, or taking a nap, or laying in a hammock, or like a hummingbird, sitting in a tree and enjoying your surroundings in nature. Discover ways you enjoy resting and follow God's pattern to rest often. It's time to answer a question from one of our listeners. Here is today's question.
Hi, my name is Abigail. I'm 10 years old and I live in Kansas. My question is, what do sunflowers do in the dark?
That is a great question, Abigail. What do sunflowers do in the dark? Sunflowers get their name because they look like the sun, but also because they sometimes turn to face the direction of the sun. But what about at nighttime? Do they look like a moon instead? No, of course not. They remain a sunflower. During the day, young sunflowers turn to face the sun because of something called heliotropism. This is when a plant grows toward the sun. During the day, a sunflower grows more on the east side of its stem, which kind of acts to push the sunflower so it leans west as the sun travels across the sky in the same direction. This helps the sunflower soak up more of the sunshine's energy so it can keep growing. But what about at nighttime? Once the sun slips below the horizon, the sunflower kind of works to even itself out. Remember, during the day, it was growing more on the east side of its stem. Now it will begin growing more on the west side of the stem, the side which was facing the sun until it went down. This kind of reverses the direction and pushes the sunflower back toward the east, where the sun will rise again and the process will begin all over again. Sunflowers no longer need to do this once they mature because they don't need to grow as much. Thanks for your great question, Abigail. Stay curious about God's wild and wonderful world. And listeners, if you have something in nature that you are curious about, you can send in your question at erinlynham.com/ask or at the link in our show notes. NatTheo Club members, be sure to click over at the end of this lesson to the bonus video where I will share with you a slow motion video I took of hummingbirds and a story of when my son held a hummingbird in his hand. Find that bonus video in your NatTheo Club dashboard or in the show notes. All right, it's time to answer our trivia question. What is the smallest species of hummingbird? Is it A, Rufous hummingbird, B, green hermit hummingbird, or C, the bee hummingbird? The smallest species of hummingbird is the bee hummingbird. It is not only the smallest hummingbird, but the smallest of all birds in the world. It is around 2 inches or 5 centimeters long, including its bill. It weighs about as much as a dime. It is so small that it is often mistaken for a bee. Now it's your turn to explore. Go find some creatures resting. Maybe it's a bird perched on a branch, or a turtle sunning itself on a log, or maybe a rabbit huddled up beneath a bush, or a bat hanging from a branch during the day. Or maybe one of my favorites, a squirrel sprawled out and napping high up on a tree branch. Thank you so much for listening. Make sure to pick up a copy of my new book, The Nature of Rest, which releases today. And if you enjoyed this episode, please take a moment to share it with a friend and subscribe, rate, and review Nat Theo wherever you listen. Until next time, keep exploring God's wild and wonderful world.